This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis, Scoop. Sam Claiborne,
and
very special guest from our main office, Seth Macy.
I don't have
is joining us here.
I thought this was the main office.
What's the slogan of Maine?
The slogan of Maine is "Dear Go, I Lead."
That's probably not gonna
or vacation
work.
Land.
That's good.
Yeah,
welcome
that was more of a marketing.
Land.
Welcome
good.
To vacation.
What were the words
land.
You said in the first one?
"Dear Go," which is Latin for "I Lead."
Oh, okay.
Which I don't know what Maine leads in other than
crabs,
overdoses.
Lobsters.
Yeah, crabs, lobsters.
Yeah,
blueberries, accents. Sunrises. We have them way before anybody else.
That's true. Yeah,
we're first ones.
But whenever Seth is here visiting us in our San Francisco office, we like to have him on the show.
Yes, I
big friend of the show. And we've got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about Mortal Kombat 11. It's out today. I've been playing a little bit of it. We got to talk about that Castlevania Anniversary Collection, which is coming out very soon. Mm-hmm. But first, the most important news of the week is, I think, obviously, that Puyo Puyo Champions
oh, yeah.
is coming out May 7th. It's mere weeks away.
Scoop.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good news. I hadn't heard.
Coming to Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
What is Champions different than the other Puyo Puyos?
It was released as Puyo Puyo Esports in Japan.
Oh. So now that everybody's stopped listening, can we talk about dogs eating people again?
What if you had to fight a Puyo to the death?
What is a Puyo?
And the Puyo knew it was for the death.
It's basically a slime, or colloquially known as a gumball.
Yeah.
No.
Justin, are there Puyos in Gumball and Dungeons?
I mean, all the gumballs are basically Puyos.
Yeah. But there's just a lot of...
Rip-offs of...
Yeah.
No. There are Transformers, though.
Transformers.
I think the weird thing about the if you had to fight anything to the death question and it knew it is just like that thing, you don't know how fierce it could get.
Right. Yeah.
Or you, I suppose.
That's probably true.
Your metal would be tested in a way that mm-hmm. you might surprise yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking of like, you know, a house cat or something. Like, if it knew it...
like, if
I'm
a
pretty
cat,
sure I could take a house cat, a single house cat.
But if the cat
then it
knew
would stalk
it was a,
you for
if,
a while.
If the cat knew it was a fight to the
true.
Death.
Yes.
They're so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're so fast.
But they have to confront me at some point and I can just, you know.
Oh.
I did a neck snapping motion. They would get some scratches in, to be sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I guess the thing is, it's hard for them to get the fatal blow.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. I just think if a cat had the chance to take out your eyeballs first, it would do that.
Oof.
Yeah. That's where it's going.
Hmm.
And then it would just wait for you to starve.
Or best case scenario, you get pink eye.
okay, we can stop.
Puyo Puyo Champions is a new Puyo Puyo game coming out May 7th. I'm excited for it. I really like Puyo Puyo. And that's if you've never played Puyo Puyo, it's like
falling block puzzle game. But we were playing with slimes, matching up threes.
And you don't need a new one.
I do need a new one. I always need a new one. Just like, do we need a new Picross game?
No.
Yes.
Yes. Wait, I said that incorrectly. Let me change my answer. Yes.
And there's a new Picross game coming.
I know. I'm excited.
It's really, really good.
It's got color now.
Wow.
How about our new Pushmo? Remember that game?
Pushmo's great.
Yeah.
And then they made the sequel. What was it? Crashmo?
Yeah.
Did I make that up?
No, Crashmo.
How's that different from Box Boy?
They're completely different.
Completely different. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that answers my question then. Let's share what we've been playing. And I've been playing Mortal Kombat 11, which is out today. And I've just been playing the story mode, like I am wont to do with my fighting games. And I've been having a lot of fun with it. I think the way that Mortal Kombat 11 handles the story mode is really smart, and other fighting games should take a cue from it.
How does it handle its story mode, Damon?
It's basically a movie, like a 4-hour CGI Mortal Kombat movie where you get to play the fights.
And what is it on Switch?
I mean, I assume it's the same. I've just been playing on PS4.
Switch is a really funny version of that game. The fighting looks really good. Mm-hmm. We're working on the review now.
Yeah.
But the rest looks like the Wii games looked when you had a 360 game.
Yeah.
What do you mean, like, the rest? Like the menus and stuff?
There's like cutscenes? Yeah. The cutscenes do look worse somehow. Yeah. I mean, I guess they're just compressed. But think about the crypt. Did you play that at all?
I tried going into the crypt.
It's like a third person exploration area.
It's cool. I tried going there, and then the game couldn't connect to the servers, and it kicked me out.
Oh. Ouch. That's because they want you to microtransact while you're in there.
Gaming
in 2019. When you're in the crypt area on normal consoles, there's like a cool like Mortal Kombat like dojo thing in the mountains, and there's like sky and moon and stuff. On the Switch version, there's no sky. It's just gray.
It's gray.
The
Switch, can't see the dojo until you get close.
Switch ports of contemporary games are like fascinating to me because on the one hand, it's incredibly impressive they got this thing running on what's basically like a tablet. It's like an iPad.
I agree.
But on the other hand, like they have to make so many deep, troubling compromises to like get it working that it's like, oof.
Yeah, it's almost like create a $40 version of the game, right? That doesn't have the crypt in it or whatever. It just has the fighting.
Yeah.
Like everyone talked about how impressive Warframe was on the Switch, and they're right. But it's still like, I would not recommend people play the game that way.
Yeah, unless you have no laptop and get to be on an airplane.
Yeah. I think there seems to be a lot to do for a single player for a fighting game.
You've been playing a lot of single player fighting games.
It's the same way I played Dead or Alive 6, but I think Mortal Kombat 11 is better.
Okay. Controversial.
Well, not really. probably not.
Is this the type of thing that you can like have a few beers and play? Because it doesn't require your concentration?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, for sure.
Is that the plan?
I mean, I'm sure at one point I'll have a few beers while playing.
I mean, Damon's been drinking all day, so.
Mortal Kombat 11. A little early for me right now. Seth, what have you been playing? And is it just PUBG?
No, I've moved on.
Okay.
I actually, I beat Zelda 2 for the first
time.
There
you go. I saw you post
But you
about
never
that.
Beat PUBG.
No, I've never beaten PUBG. I've gotten a couple chicken dinners, and I thought maybe that the credits would roll.
Yeah.
But it just starts right over again.
I think that's disrespectful of the creators of the game.
Yeah. I really
Yeah. When do you see the credits for PUBG?
I have an idea I just thought of.
Okay.
When 100 people get chicken dinners, then they're put in like a match together.
That's pretty good.
And then like maybe if 100 of those people win like a second chicken dinner, like it keeps going. It's like a
some sort of bracket for a competition,
like a pyramid or triangle of some kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe there's got to be a stake.
Can we talk about Zelda now?
At some point. Yeah, Zelda 2.
I played Zelda 2 on the Nintendo Switch Online service. That was one of the first Nintendo games that I ever played as a kid. It was the first game that made my thumb have a blister. Because, you know, back then you would rent a game. You'd have to only the weekend to play it.
Yeah.
And that game was ruthless. And thanks to the modern invention and convenience of save states, I was able to make my way through the entire game and beat it. And I will probably never play it again.
What happens? So Zelda wakes up? I've never beaten Zelda 2.
Yeah.
She's sleeping.
Well, spoilers here.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it too much, but there is an implied kiss.
An implied kiss?
Between Zelda and Link.
That's hot.
The curtain falls, but you see their legs, and they move together. Now, they might just be embracing.
You do also,
it's up to the imagination.
You also fight yourself.
You fight yourself. It's very,
And then you fight a really big monster.
No, it's the other way around. You fight a really big monster who shoots fire that's really hard.
Yeah.
And you have to use, you know, your thunder spell to get it to show its face. And then when you're done, you think, oh, I'm done. This is what you would have thought in the 80s.
Yeah.
Then Shadow Link jumps out and is the hardest unless you cheese it.
You cheese it.
Yeah.
And is it down?
If you just go to the corner and squat and spam your sword, he will jump into your sword.
I'm all for it.
But you still have to get a little bit lucky, I think, with that technique.
I think it,
It's really stressful.
It is extremely stressful.
So I must have played it without... There's save states, but the Nintendo provided save states. Can you just save just one save?
On the online service, it's almost like the NES Classic where you have four slots. And okay. So I was just... Anytime I knew I was going to run into trouble, I would save state.
Yeah.
Because that game is ruthless. If you're not familiar, if you die, you start all the way back at the first temple and have to go through all
that. So that's the thing with that game. That's what save states fix, is that when you die, you start at the very beginning and you have to walk back
all
to everything. And so there's little things you get in the game to clear the way for shortcuts in it. Like you break a boulder.
Right.
And then you don't have to go through the dang caves again.
Yeah.
Right? Going through the caves is the worst part of
it's
that game.
The worst.
Because it's like a maze of twisty little passages, and they're all alike. And when you go through that part just once, you want to be able to like do the rock. So if you're ever going to play that game, look up a guide just to do the caves, and then don't worry about it from there.
I actually used our wiki guide, and somebody else was also in there. I could see from our, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
Stuff. Somebody else was checking
like, two people are reading
there's two people
right
reading
now.
This page, yeah.
I saw the Assassin's Creed Unity wiki spiking, too, since it's free.
More or less. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because fascinating to see how that happens every month.
Mm-hmm.
Other than Zelda 2, I've been playing Sekiro. Which I never thought I would play or enjoy at all.
And it worked for you, but some other people that never thought they'd play it, it didn't work for.
Something happened where I hate the game still a lot. Like, it makes me so mad, but I feel compelled to keep playing it. And then it does really, actually, I feel good when I do beat someone horrible.
But going back to Zelda 2, do you think that's a good game?
Do I think it's a good game?
Yeah. I'm curious.
I have a lot of fondness for it, but I think could have been a good game, but it sort of misses the mark. The controls are kind of mushy feeling. The music is like, I don't know anything about music, but it's in like a minor key or something. It just feels like a little sour every note. And the best thing about Zelda is the sound it makes when you're walking in the swamp. It's like, it's the greatest sound in all of 8-bit video games.
All right. Justin. Gumballs and Dungeons?
Yeah, I can give you an update.
Okay.
I'm still on Gumballs and Dungeons. It's still really good. I made a lot of really good progress
good.
In Gumballs and Dungeons
I was worried.
Last week.
Can I turn down his
just slowly fade me out as I continue going on? I got 80 out of 80 dungeon points and a couple more dungeons. So that's an important milestone, as you all know.
Wait, Sam, are you aware that Justin's been successfully spreading the gospel? Now you just minimized it. You don't even know what you're doing.
I'm trying to stir.
There, you can post. There's
play
message
music.
Boards. There are message boards in the game.
Yeah,
and people have been posting messages about GameScoop.
Oh,
you can leave little comments. Like each gumball has their own little forum where you can have a chat. And in like the game starting default dungeon, it's all like GameScoop comments now. It's very wholesome and sweet. Yeah, so 80 out of 80 dungeon points. I unlocked and completed a bunch more Gumball Trials, which are like very, very hard challenges. And I completed the repair of two of my Eden Halls.
Did you see any more lightly trademarked characters?
Oh, they are hella trademarked.
Did you see Scooby-Doo yet?
There's no Scooby-Doo, although there is Wizard of Oz.
What about Dr. Frankenstein?
So I love that game to death. It's filled with pop culture. There is a Frankenstein. It's full of pop culture homages, but they're not homages. They're just ripoffs. Like there's just Transformer. Like anything under the sun is in the game.
A Dracula. Is there a Dracula?
Huh? Yeah, there's all. Yeah.
What about Alucard?
No, but there is a Lich King from from World of Warcraft.
Can you play as Dracula?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a gumball version of
bad ending.
It's a slime version of Dracula. Gumballs and Dungeons. It's on iOS and Android.
Yeah.
And you're right. I've been converting people, Damon.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the ending?
The game doesn't end. It's just one of those.
It has a bad ending.
It's just like PUBG.
Yeah.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
All right, Sam.
I've been playing the latest pinball machine from Stern called Black Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Sword of Rage.
Boy, we all have cool. Weird answers this week.
Is it as cool as it initially looked?
It's so cool.
There you go.
So this is a sequel to two games that came out in the 80s, Black Knight 1980 and then Black Knight 2000, 1988 or 89. And the original creator made it. And those games were themed around like fantasy and the future a little bit. And then, like, a knight that talks to you, he's like, the Black Knight will slay you in the 1980 game, which is pretty scary at the time.
Yeah.
And the second game has, like, a shredding soundtrack with, like, metal guitars, which is really good, and singing. And this has all of that back and is in brand new with, like, a Black Knight toy in the middle that, like, fights you and stuff. And then it has the soundtrack is by Scott Ian of Anthrax and... Oh, wow. Brendan Small. Ooh. I don't care about Anthrax that much, but Brendan Small, I really like. He's from Home Movies and from Metalocalypse, and he does callouts and stuff like that, and got like all involved in this game. And I was so happy to find that out. So it has like a good vibe, and then the art is so Heavy Metal Magazine cool. It's like you fight random monsters, and they're on like a big, you know, screen, and they're like so well designed and gory and cool and stuff like that. It just has a good like. Funny 80s metal feel for a game that came out this year.
Is there the Black Knight toy that's in the middle? It's not as prominent as like Champion Pub.
Like. It's just like that. Oh. And it has a flail on one side, so it's like a two pinball thing that spins,
that's so
and it
cool.
can knock your ball back, or it can like spin it upwards. And so it's like kind of fighting you, and it's moving. And then on the other side is a shield that goes up and down.
That's
and you have
great.
To like bash it to attack him, or like, oh, and in the middle, you can hit him too. So it's like that's the point of it. It is Champion Pub-esque. In that sense.
That's awesome. Nice. I completely missed that in the images.
Yeah, it's cool.
So,
and I bought it.
Yeah, yeah. You're a co-owner of this table?
Co-owner with the owner of Free Gold Watch. We went in it.
So if any
an arcade here.
If Scoop fans are visiting San Francisco, can they go to Free Gold Watch and play this table?
Yeah, but and I don't own these other games, but they also have the other two Black Knight games, and they're like all prominently displayed right now, and it looks so cool.
Yeah.
You can check out my Twitter feed for pictures, and we have a bunch on IGN, too.
If you find yourself in San Francisco, go to Free Gold Watch, very awesome arcade, where Sam operates multiple pinball tables there.
Yep.
I've also been playing a bit of Steamworld Quest.
Oh, yeah. I
played that,
playing
too.
Playing that, too.
The latest Steamworld game, which I guess it's out. I think it's out this week, and then Tom's review is up now. He gave it an 8-something, which sounds about right to me. Yeah. I really like the Steamworld games. This one is very, very cool, very fun. I don't think... people will be as into it as the SteamWorld Dig games. It's a little bit more niche, I think, turn-based, card-based battle RPG. Sam loves the Dig games. It's been really hard getting him to.
I mean, I really like
get excited.
Well,
about
I like SteamWorld Dig because of like exploration, adventuring, and stuff. I realized this game, like the main hook in this game, is JRPG style battles, turn-based battles.
Yeah,
and I don't like those anymore. I've decided this year.
A really cool like card. Deck building mechanic that makes it not
it's more than nice. Just attack.
Yeah, but just choose an enemy. Just turn based battles is not enough to make a game for me.
Oh,
They're pretty. I actually really like card-based games. I love Slay the Spire, one of last year's
breakout hits. Which is also coming to PS4 next month.
Ooh, that's so good.
Yeah.
But SteamWorld, to be fair, I need to play more of it, but it seems pretty slow going right now. Just like an enemy might have like 180 health and my attack does like 20.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't need to go through this for like 10 turns. Like everything should
I was surprised by that exact thing.
Everything should move twice as fast as it does, and I think I would like the game a lot more.
I liked it a lot more when I found that if you push the R button, you can run.
At least on move. Run. Yeah, out of combat.
That's a life hack.
But even though I like Octopath and stuff, like I don't think I need to play turn-based games anymore. I'm no turn-based game period. I think they're done.
That's
like,
crazy.
It's been so many years of them, and I don't get it. I think they were like a stand-in for D&D that was like before we could make games work right, and now we have to play them still because they like are a callback. I just think they suck.
There's definitely some truth to, like, real-time combat was technologically impossible in the era when RPGs were invented. Otherwise, they would have done real-time combat if they could have figured out a way to do it. And now we're stuck with it. So I agree with you on that, except that now we get so many, like, Octopath is such a good example
there's
of the game.
There's smart versions of it out there. Yeah. I respect that so much. But like I don't like them anymore.
See, on the opposite, I like them more now.
Yeah.
Especially now that they're portable, like on 3DS or DS and 3DS, when I could play a JRPG and just sit in bed and grind and then close it and go to bed. Mm. Same with the Switch. I like them more now.
I hear Darkest Dungeon is really, really good for that.
It is very good.
I think, you know, making interesting tactical decisions and like you have three choices you can make and they're going to have these ramifications throughout the rest of this battle. Oh, that stuff's great. And, like trying to plan.
Yeah.
One thing I notice is that I find a good way to do something. And then I never change it.
Oh, for
sure. So when a game is like 60 hours long, I'm like, wow, like this did work for me and I'm doing well, but I'm never going to change my tactic. Six of my characters are never going to level up to the point that my other characters are. There's like all kinds of problems with that, you know?
Or even like Final Fantasy games have all the status magic, right? It's like confuse and sleep and yada yada. And it's like, can you confuse this boss?
Nope.
The answer is
that's why. Yeah.
What about the instant kill spells in every game?
Yeah.
Where by the time you get you're fighting monsters, where that would be helpful. It's like no, that would never work on those. It works on imps in the first forest though. If you're gonna go back there, void them out of existence. Just go for it.
Yeah.
6 out of 10 times it'll work.
Yep.
Great.
I love turn-based games. Into the Breach is a turn-based game.
When you're older, you'll understand.
I think as I get older, I'll just like turn-based games more and more.
It's priceless.
Civilization is also a turn-based game, which I've just started dipping my toes into on Switch.
Have you guys played turn-based games with Auto Battle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's really funny.
Yeah, as a mobile gamer, I know that very well.
Oh, yeah? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a super...
And it shows like a little speed-up?
I kind of don't even like to play games that don't have an Auto Battle on my phone. Let's just skip...
Because turn-based games aren't fun.
Let's just skip the pretense here and just...
What about random encounters? You guys down with those still?
No, those I don't need. I don't think those ever have to happen, actually.
I think that's a case-by-case thing.
Really?
I actually don't mind them. I really love the Bravely games, and I absolutely loved Octopath Traveler, and those both have random encounters. So
you can turn them off in Bravely.
Yes, you can, and that is actually one of the best parts because you don't have to do that thing where you're in a dungeon that's a little bit too hard for you, and you're going to die, so you can just turn them off and then run back to the town. And, you know, do all your healing. So that's actually a great innovation in the world.
You have the power.
You have the power.
So
it's a good life lesson.
If they made SteamWorld Quest and they just like were like, okay, we're going to just make it a double dragon where you just beat up all the big things.
That seems more appealing to you?
I'm asking you if that seems more appealing.
No, not at all.
No.
But that'd be a pretty dope game.
Okay, maybe. But that doesn't allow you the deck building and like the strategy
well, what if it did?
Part of it.
I mean, I don't see how that would make it any different, because basically that's what it is now. You're walking along, and you meet an enemy, and you fight them.
Then it turns into a turn-based battle.
Yeah, and this, I'm saying no turn-based, and like you have to like move around and dodge and fight a little bit. And
are there any deck-based brawlers?
That'd be cool, right?
Maybe. I don't know. None come to mind.
I hope it's kind of already coming true, but I hope like deck-based things are like the next flavor of the moment in video games.
Pretty popular right now.
It's their turn to shine. But like I want it in the same way like RPGs infiltrated everything. I just want cards in every game.
Yeah. Yeah. Cards.
Yeah.
They're so hot right now. Anyway, that is what we've been playing, and we learned something dark and disturbing about Sam this week.
Well, I learned it about myself.
That was fitting.
It was pretty fitting. That's the original Mortal Kombat. The audio is pretty low on those files, so we'll have to deal with a little bit lower audio on the Mortal Kombat tracks. Moving on, we of course know that Sony abandoned its post at E3 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Sony had the prime slot the primetime slot for its press conference, 6 p.m. on that Monday, the eve before the show begins. And we would also, you know, EA starts traditionally on Saturday. You build through, Microsoft and Ubisoft. And
it's the best. It's the best part of
Square Enix. And it's like everything builds up to Sony's conference, and we see our audience grows and grows and grows. That's like peak audience hour, usually 6 p.m. that Monday of the show. But Sony was like, nah, we don't want to do that this year. But we found out today that Square Enix swept in and has taken that spot. Square Enix is in the primetime slot right now.
They're such an interesting company because they have the Square Enix side, but then they also have the Eidos side.
And Crystal Dynamics.
It's just fascinating. Like, what are they going to bring?
Final Fantasy VII and Avengers would be a pretty good show.
That's what I'm like. Those would be the big things. The things that would satisfy a huge audience of gamers at that time slot.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we know about those games. So, like, what do they have that we don't know about? Final Fantasy XVI.
Well, we're due for an update on Final Fantasy VII. It's been
We may get a Final Fantasy 16 cinematic trailer. Right? I wouldn't be crazy surprised.
Yeah, it's not
that
crazy.
When was 15?
Forever ago.
It was a long time ago.
They're still fixing it, though.
And also, 15 was in development for, forever.
Ever, ever, never.
Man, that game's great. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of tricks they could have up their sleeves. I mean, there could be a Switch, only Kingdom Hearts or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe a Switch Bravely game, which I would love.
They have those two.
You're the Bravely.
I am one of the people that loves.
I really, really love Bravely Default, but the game does that thing at the end that everybody that plays it knows about. That
Bravely Second is so much better.
Yeah.
Like, Bravely Second is phenomenal, and I need to dig out my 3DS again.
What if they did that, but you were a little character with a little sword? You got to stab everything.
Just, I mean, you kind of.
Would you
are.
Like that better or less?
I mean, do the things that I'm stabbing know that they're fighting to the death?
All right. That's what we call a callback, folks. Do you think so? I thought when it came to this E3 press conference, I thought for sure that Epic was going to sweep in and take that slot.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think Octorox know they're fighting to the death?
They pick the fight with you. If you just
they totally
by.
Do.
Octorox are kind of like octopi, and octopi are very smart.
Mm-hmm. But that's octopi true. Stay out of fights.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're smart enough to not F with me when I'm walking by.
I mean, I don't know.
And like when you see a guy with a sword and a shield, you should know like that nut in your mouth is not going to do anything.
I mean, he's just saying like they're going out of their way to just pester you on the land. Just don't do that and you can keep your life.
And I just feel like there's a better way for them to attract you over to sell things.
But it's like, think about like a mother bear.
But that's not Octorox.
Like, the mother bear attacks you when it's like, you get between it and its cub or whatever, right? Like there's like a defense element to it. But like you're on land. It's in the water, man.
I was conflating Deku scrubs and Octorox, but I've cleared it up.
Octorox spit their nuts too.
They do. I know. But Deku scrubs do the exact same thing and then try to sell you stuff.
Yeah.
It is true. Is the Octorox hunting you? Does it want to eat you? Does it want to eat Link?
I think it's just
saying, on the ground.
Get away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're like pretty far away.
I think he's just saying, hey.
A whole screen away and beyond
like,
that.
F you for no reason at all. That's what he's mainly saying.
Their territory is clearly a screen.
Yeah.
Right?
This is my turf.
Anyway, this Avengers game has not been officially revealed. Mm-hmm. We know that they have it coming, but there hasn't been like a big reveal.
No, there was a trailer though. Like it's not just
like
a rumor.
With logo-y things.
Not a trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, there was. What? It was all the destroyed. It was like a room was destroyed, and I think you saw Captain America's shield.
Yeah,
and then it's
not like gameplay or anything close to it. It's just kind of saying like an Avengers game exists.
They announced that game like is Metroid not Prime just 4. A rumor. Like they announced that game's real.
I know it's not a rumor. I know it's announced. It hasn't been officially revealed.
Do you want us to show you the trailer
right
now?
We had a teaser
now?
Trailer.
When?
2 years ago?
Really? 2 years ago. There's been a teaser trailer.
I'm with you. I don't recall
Thank
this
you.
At all.
Thank you, Seth.
I mean, there's been a lot of Avengers things happening.
You're both wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, this is not, it's not like a matter of opinion.
Here's some screenshots from said trailer.
And what's this? I'm looking at something that's kind of blurry.
It shows, like, Iron Man's gauntlet. It shows
everybody's weapons.
Marvel and Square Enix announced. Okay, so I still don't think it's been revealed, and I think we're just getting into semantics here.
Yeah.
So whose side is Seth on now? I know that he's going to have to choose one.
I had already agreed that has been announced. We know it's coming. It hasn't been officially unveiled.
Right.
What is the game? What do you do in the game? What does the game look like? Maybe. When is the game coming out? All these.
Maybe it's canceled.
Details. Maybe that's their
big reveal.
They'll announce that the game
tonight.
Has been.
We've canceled the game.
Yeah. How badly do you think they wish they had that game out a year ago?
God.
Yeah, seriously. Well, yeah. But we will have Final Fantasy X-3.
Good.
in 20 years.
Yeah. They're actually just remaking 15.
Yeah.
15 too?
It already kind of got a remake.
They should put turn-based fighting into it because it is a Final Fantasy game.
Don't even mess with me about Final Fantasy 15 2. That would be like a top 5 announcement for me.
You'd like that.
15 is so good but so flawed that like the idea of like returning to that world and like fixing up like getting those characters back.
What if you couldn't see any monsters in it? And then you had to choose every attack from a menu while the game was paused. Would you like it better or worse?
Best JRPG combat system, best JRPG soundtrack. God, that game's
great. You were that into Final Fantasy 15?
Yeah, I mean,
did you play it fixed?
It's got like, well, I mean, it's still not that fixed. Like, there's real fundamental stuff wrong with that game.
They had to redo a whole level.
I don't know. I have a lot of conflicting opinions on that game.
Yeah.
I love it despite its flaws.
Square Enix also has Tomb Raider. But Shadow just came out last year, right?
Yeah. Right.
But they can, of course, tease another Tomb Raider anytime. Or like a Switch specific Tomb Raider.
I don't know what they're going to do with Tomb Raider.
Yeah. That trilogy's kind of done.
Yep.
And then what else do they have? They have Hitman, but we just got Hitman 2.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Probably two. I mean, sure, announced like another season for it or something.
Drakwe, Parasite Eve, Dino Crisis.
Parasite. Dino Crisis is Capcom.
There's
What's the difference? Yeah. Yeah.
That they could do.
Yeah. Anyway.
And then Chrono Trigger 2 would be nice.
Well, what do you think? What's Chrono Cross?
Is that not Chrono Trigger 2?
Yeah, it's not Chrono Trigger 2.
Okay.
It's hard to make a sequel to a time travel game.
Yeah. You just have to set it before the time machine was invented.
Mm-hmm.
But
it didn't stop Back to the Future.
They go back to 10 million BC.
That'd be a boring game.
Yeah. It's just Chuck Rock.
Yeah. We'll see if Square Enix has any announcement worthy of the 6 p.m. Monday time slots at E3 this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a groovy track. I wish it were a little bit louder.
If there was just 40% louder, how much more enjoyable would that be?
Man, we're just burning through time this show. I don't know. We're like halfway done with the show. We've just bullshit this whole time. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Sorry, listeners.
This is Eric from Dallas. And he says, he emailed us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like you can. He says, I recently found your show on YouTube and have gone back and watched all the GameScoop episodes.
Oh, wow.
Good news.
I'm a huge fan and look forward to your show every week. I wanted to get everyone's opinion on the upcoming Castlevania Anniversary Collection. I was excited to hear that Konami is releasing 8 Castlevania games from the amazing franchise. I've not played many games from Castlevania, so I can't wait to play some of these, including Kid Dracula. I wanted to get your thoughts on this collection and the 8 games. Also, I wanted to ask if you could have any franchise or series of games released in a collection.
Ooh.
What game franchise would you like to see released?
That's a really good question. I wasn't prepared to answer that.
I personally would like to see a Metal Gear Solid collection.
Yes.
Released. Yeah. If they did Solid, what would it be like 1, 2, 3?
4, 5.
But could you pack it all into one disc is what I'm thinking of. Or
yeah.
If they wanted to do a retail release. Just put them all on there? Mm-hmm. You put Twin Snakes on there?
Yeah.
Do you put Acid on there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Acid 2.
Okay, so just everything
VR,
goes on there.
VR missions?
I mean, there's no cops. This is a hypothetical. We're 4 dudes in a podcast room. It's whatever you want.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of already have that with the PlayStation 3 Metal Gear collection, where you have like the first one that was on the MSX, and you get not that crappy.
And Metal Gear 2 is the good sequel that we didn't really get.
Wait, what?
There were 2 Metal Gear 2s. The American one was the bad one, and then the MSX one
was
the good one.
Is the American one actually bad? I don't remember.
Snake's Revenge.
Yeah, yes. Snake's Revenge is bad.
It's bad.
It's not good.
Well,
I mean, so is Metal Gear's bad on NES, too.
I have never played, besides just casually, like around the office, I've never played for more than 10 minutes a Castlevania game that was not a Metroidvania. I've only played the Metroidvania ones.
So Simon's Quest.
Oh, wow. Well, so the games included in this anniversary collection are Castlevania's 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, see, those are the ones I've missed.
On the NES, and 4 on Super Nintendo.
Which is great, which Super has the best opening level music to a game, period.
It's very good. There are 2 Game Boy games, Castlevania Adventure and Castlevania 2 Belmont's Revenge. Mm-hmm. Those are also straightforward, not Metroidvanias.
Castlevania the Adventure I owned when I was a kid, and it's way too slow to be fun.
Oh, we'll see.
I'm so excited to see them bringing back Kid Dracula, by the way, and like just
Kid Dracula, which this version, the Famicom version, wasn't released in the U.S.
Yeah. It's really cool.
We got a Kid Dracula on Game Boy that was kind of like a reimagining of that game, but this original hadn't been released here before.
Worth the collection alone.
And then there's also Bloodlines, which from the Sega Genesis, which is very good.
Yes,
a very good another
But Lynch, I think it's coming to the Genesis Classic.
Oh, is it on there too?
I believe so. That's cool. Yeah, it was one of the new ones that they just announced.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I think this is a really good collection of games. It's like it's most of the pre Metroidvania Symphony of the Night games.
Yeah.
Except for Rondo of Blood, Dracula X.
Right. Two is impossible, but interesting.
Yeah. Two is really interesting. You'll need a guide to play two, and even with the guide, you're
we couldn't figure it out. Dave and I tried to beat it in the guide the other day, and we couldn't do it.
We spent all afternoon trying to get to Dracula's castle, and we could not get there using guides and maps.
And wow. I've done that 1,000 times when I was a kid, and I still couldn't figure it out using the internet. I need like a print guide that I used when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Trying to take shortcuts, to be fair.
That's true. That game is all about shortcuts, though, like kneeling at a cliff and then a tornado comes. It's completely crazy. It's a crazy game. Mm-hmm. I think Castlevania 1 is the most enjoyable game in that collection.
More than 3?
Yeah, they're very similar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in my mind, like, I think 1 is like the one.
Hmm. 3
Best
is
music.
3 is more Super Castlevania than Super Castlevania.
It is pretty super. You get to change characters,
yeah.
And one of them can climb walls.
One of them is named Grant Dynasty.
Grant Dynasty.
I guess maybe I have. Like, I've played 3. I don't feel like I know them well, but I owned 4. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to walk back my previous statement somewhat.
Okay. I'll allow it.
Thank you.
All very fun, but very difficult games for a modern audience.
Yeah.
The Dark Souls of platformers.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing. Like, maybe I'm just such a big softie, but it's like I die and the game ends, and I'm like, well, okay.
There's a stark contrast between jumping in Castlevania and jumping in Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah. One direction, you better
get it
right.
When you jump, you're locked.
Committed.
You're committed to that. There's no swaying back and forth in the air like Mario can.
If there's a Medusa that hits you mid-jump, you're probably going to fall straight to the level.
And going up staircases is the worst thing on Earth, and there's staircases everywhere.
Yep.
You would think someone would be like, yo, that's not fun.
And it doesn't matter if you're going up to the next screen up. If it was just one step up to the next screen, when you're on that screen, if you fall back down, you're
That's
dead.
It, you're dead.
You're just dead.
Gone forever.
Yeah.
But I do like them.
Fun.
And when I play them now, I think like, oh, these are reasonably accessible except for 2.
Yeah.
And I think it's like such a good collection. And then except for Adventure 2, I don't think that game is playable.
Well, they have such amazing atmosphere and like just the artistry on display and like the super dope ass like map that they give you that makes you really feel like you're going through an epic journey. Like
Ghosts and Goblins inspired.
They're so masterful at that.
And the whip. Is there anything more fun than killing something with a whip?
It's true.
It's like it feels so good. You have this like very long range sword basically.
And the fact that you get to power it up.
Yeah, the power ups are great. Such good music, really good
amazing
art,
music.
As Justin was saying, like, all the enemies look really funny and cool.
Yep.
They're like just amusing and well done.
Really cool monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And the Game Boy versions might not be as much fun to play, but I'm interested to see how they look on my big TV.
Yeah.
They'll probably look really nice and crisp.
Yeah, you'll have time to see them when you walk at like 1 mile per hour.
I don't know. As for like what collection I'd like to see, like so many of the games, like there's been a Mega Man collection.
Yep.
A Contra collection. Contra collection is forthcoming. Oh, yeah. Puyo Puyo collection would be great. That's a really good suggestion.
Do you remember that Zelda collection that they had on the GameCube?
Yeah, I have that.
Yeah, me too. And it's crazy rare now. It's
What's on there?
1 and 2 and Ocarina and the Master Quest and Majora's Mask.
Yep.
There's 2 different discs. One has Ocarina and Majora and Master Quest, I think.
The second Master Quest, that's the only way to get it in English.
Sorry, one just has Ocarina and Master. And then there's another disc that has Majora, Ocarina, and then the first 2 games too. But they never put the Super Nintendo one on.
Yeah.
But they were both like giveaways.
Too bad.
One came with pre-ordering Wind Waker and one came with Nintendo Power something.
Yep.
I want more than I want any of that, and I want a Sega Saturn Mini.
Yeah.
Nobody owned a Sega Saturn. There's great games that are like no one's playing Panzer Dragoon Saga.
Yeah.
You know, like give us a chance to get Knights and like.
If you make those like have good frame rates and stuff, it'd be really cool, right?
Yeah.
I want a Triss collection. That would include.
What collection?
Triss. So it's Triss. All the Tetrises plus Hattriss.
Yeah.
And Word Triss.
And Weltriss.
And Weltriss and Tetrasphere.
That's really
all the weird ones, like super weird Tetrises.
Which was the Super Scope 6 one?
That exists.
You know, there was a Super Scope. That's hard to say. A Super Scope 6 Tetris game. Yeah.
Was it Tetris?
I'm almost certain it was a Tetris game where you had to like shoot the blocks to turn them rather than turn them with a controller.
Cool. Mm-hmm. That might have been like the pack-in game with like
I think
6.
I think it was, but I'm pretty sure it was a
Super
Tetris
Scope
game.
6.
What about Tetris Attack?
Yeah, Tetris Attack would count in there.
But it doesn't have
Pokemon.
The Tetrominos.
Pokemon Puzzle League.
Would it include Puyo Puyo Tetris?
Yeah, Puyo Puyo Tetris. And then I really like a game called Tetris versus Dr. Mario on the Super Nintendo. It's that, but you get to play against a friend, and you play both games, and they both do damage while you're playing them. It's so smart.
Wow.
It's really good.
I think a Bonk collection would be good because those games have been largely forgotten.
Yeah.
They're excellent. The first, there's three mainline Bonk games on the TurboGrafx-16. Mm-hmm. They're all really fun and cute, have great music. And then there's Air Zonk,
which is the shooter
version. And then there was a Super Nintendo Bonk game and a Game Boy Bonk game. And then I think there was an even NES port too, also. So if you can get all that together in one package,
that'd be a nice pretty excellent. Mm-hmm. You know what I'd like to see? The handheld Castlevania games. In a collection.
Just the handheld Castlevania.
Just the
you're talking about like the Game Boy Advance.
Like Dawn of Sorrow, Aria of the Night. Yep. Those ones for the DS are
these are the ones that
fantastic.
Iga sort of went on to sort of spearhead after Symphony of the Night.
Dawn of Sorrow is maybe one of my favorite games, actually. I 100%ed that game, and I haven't 100%ed a game in forever.
Those games, you know, there's like six or so.
I liked
of them.
Portrait and Ecclesia too. Those are all great games.
Yeah, they started fantastic. On Game Boy Advance and moved on to DS, and they're kind of like the first six Mega Man games in that they're all a very similar high quality.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They're just all great.
There was one weird one, Circle of the Moon. Then that one doesn't is. It was I think maybe before Aria of Sorrow and everything. Is that right?
Circle of the Moon is the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's like not as complicated because Aria of Sorrow was the big sequel to Symphony of the Night.
Yeah,
Aria of Sorrow is the one that sort of like was the perfect combination of like, all right, we completely understand what we're doing now.
Yeah, and then Dawn of Sorrow took that to like the next level. Yeah.
Those games are all lovely. That'd be a great collection.
Yeah, and it'd be so fun to like just have it on your Switch.
Throwing that at Castlevania fighting game from Wii.
The chief criticism of those games, even
Judgment?
At the end,
is it called Castlevania Judgment?
Yes.
Okay.
The worst anyone has to say about them is like, I've had my fill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What about a collection of seriously like every Star Wars game until like 2000? So it'd have the TIE Fighters.
Even the Return of the Jedi arcade game?
Yeah. And like all the arcade games, the weird NES games, the Japanese NES Famicom game, like all that stuff. They're really fun.
Those PC games like Jedi Knight, Dark Forces.
Yeah, people love them too. Yeah, I just miss them. People whose favorite game are those games.
TIE Fighter.
So before 2000, does that include Shadows of the Empire on N64?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what everyone calls that game? I had so much fun playing that when
me too.
It came out on N64.
Remember the missiles you could control? That blew my mind.
We used to do the run through the canyon. Because at the end, when you beat it, the credits, it shows like one of the developer's records. And that was our goal to beat it. And then we beat it, and then we just like completely destroyed it. We found a glitch, which I could never replicate now.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
Any other collections?
Nope.
All right, we'll put that to bed. The Castlevania Anniversary Collection, I think, comes out next month. Looking forward to that.
Exciting.
What was that one? Is that Afterburner?
Close, probably around the same time, an arcade game called Twin Cobra. So just like the helicopter version of Afterburner. This is Dan K. in the Chicago suburbs.
What's up?
Hey.
He says, Justin mentioned his ski trip and staying in the lodge to play arcade games.
Yeah.
This brought back a couple of memories for me, one of my sister learning to ski, and me staying in the lodge because I didn't want to learn. This gave me a fondness for the arcade games Trojan and Double Dragon, or Double Dribble. Mm-hmm. Hearing Double Dribble scream out its name just made you want to play it. Double Dribble. And while Trojan wasn't a good game, I love it even now because of the memory, but it wasn't quite as good on NES. This brings me to my question. Do you guys have any games that are bad, but because of your memories of them, you think they are good?
Did he write Double Dribble?
No, I did that.
You ad-libbing.
I ad-libbed that.
Aren't like 90% of the games we like from like before 2010 technically bad?
Yeah.
Before 2010. Yeah. I liked that game Trojan. And do you remember, this is the box art. The arcade flyer, and they use this for the box art on the NES, and that's why I was drawn to this game, because I thought it was awesome. That's an early...
That looks really cool.
It's got a Dirk the Daring kind of look to it.
It is totally Dirk the Daring.
That's cool.
It looks like...
It's just like an early Capcom... You can't really see it there too well. Early Capcom side-scrolling hack and slash. Not quite as good as Ghost
of the Goblins. I would have played that game just... Yeah. By seeing that box.
I'm trying to think about bad games that I just unironically. I mean, yeah, like most of my, like when you're a kid, like when I got NES games, I didn't know. I was basing my decision off what I wanted off of nothing at all. Like,
right.
You know, there was no rhyme or reason to like, I want this game or that game. I played a lot of Kid Chameleon on the Genesis. I don't know if that's a good game. Maybe it is. Like, it's hard to tell.
I think Kid Chameleon's okay. Hey, Ikari Warriors is one of my examples.
I played a lot. That
game sucks.
But I loved it and played it forever as a kid.
I played a lot. Like, one of my most played NES games is Gremlins 2.
That game's great.
I don't know.
That was on the list of games you said we're supposed to reevaluate.
Yeah, but I played it recently and it didn't.
I stand by. That game is fantastic.
When
and it
did
had
you last
amazing,
play?
I don't know, 1980.
Yeah, yeah.
Nine or whatever. But the movie's phenomenal and the game is great.
I agree with the movie.
Final boss sprite of the spider gremlin. Like that.
Sure.
You got to the final boss?
I beat that game, yeah.
Game Genie?
No, this was all game Seth.
Okay.
Well, in the first, it's a lot of like, it's like kind of an overhead isometric view in your gizmo, and there's difficult platforming trying to jump over pits and stuff.
But once you figure it out,
and then there's like,
it becomes fun.
The enemies are just bats and giant tomatoes for a long time until you actually get
giant tomatoes.
It's all,
it makes no sense.
Because
that's from the movie, obviously, staying true to the source material.
Obviously, you remember the type of genetic experiments they were doing in the movie.
Right, a tomato that would bounce for shipping purposes, and those become enemies, bouncing tomatoes in the game.
You fight a disproportionately large number of bouncing tomatoes.
Yeah.
That Back to the Future Gremlins. 2 and 3 are my two enduring memories of just bad games I played a lot of.
Wow.
2 and 3 is one cart, right?
Yeah, it's insane. I never got to the
Isn't
Back to the Future 3
Isn't it only skateboarding?
I don't even want to get into it. It's this weird puzzle. It's that game is actually insane.
Hmm. Flashback is a game I liked a lot as a kid, but it's not much fun to play today.
No, it's not fun. No Man's Sky for me.
Oh. Whoa, wait a minute. You liked that game when it came out?
Yeah.
And now you don't?
People say it's bad.
No, people like it now.
Doesn't matter. They don't like that game.
But they didn't like it when it came out. There's not very many defenders of launch No Man's Sky.
No, mm-hmm. No. But this
And
is,
I liked that.
His question is like the opposite. We thought it was good then, and now when we revisit it, it's not.
That's exactly the issue with No Man's Sky. Is that if you went back and played the launch version.
Just the launch version. Okay, yeah. You're talking about the launch version. Okay. All right.
But fine, I'll name something stupid and old.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I was looking for.
I don't know, Bugs Bunny's Crazy Castle.
You don't think that game's good? I love that game.
Me too.
That's from Kimco. They also did Shadowgate on NES.
Which was great. I loved that game.
I love Shadowgate.
Yeah.
What if that was our 20 questions and we just got it?
Oh, nice.
Do you know the Crazy Castle is its own sort of sprawling brand of different games?
It was like Roger Rabbit and then Mickey Mouse and then Bugs Bunny. I don't know.
It's
not Mickey Mouse.
It was based on what license they could use in what territory they would put that character on the Crazy Castle.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'd have to say probably Cobra Triangle.
We were talking about that last week.
Oh, okay. I played it on
CJ the loves the game. He claims he's really good at it, but he claims to be good at every game.
There's a lot of like it's not fun, the controls are hard, and there's a lot of RNG stuff with the logs towards the end. Wow. I never got far in it, but I watched a playthrough and somebody was explaining like, yeah, you know, it's mostly luck whether you're gonna make it through this section.
Yeah.
Game's impossible to play in control.
It is not fun, but I played that game so much because I just loved the idea of this like huge dragon boss that you had to fight.
Yeah. What about Dragon's Lair?
I mean, I like Dragon's Lair, but you're right, it's not much fun to play.
I've never seen Dragon's Lair in my entire life.
I've seen
video of it, but I never, like, whenever...
Encountered it.
I never encountered it in the wild.
It's
I encountered
quite
that,
a patch.
What's that other, that Sega game that you were like a time traveler, it was the world's first holographic game?
Yeah, it's called
it's
Time
just
Travel.
Time Traveler.
I did encounter that when I did put a dollar into it.
That game's in a cabinet about as big as this white table.
Yeah.
And you look down into it.
Yeah.
And then it actually has two monitors, and it projects those monitors. Every character's on a black background, so it reflects them off a piece of glass. So then it looks like the things that are on the black background are popping on that glass, right? That's all really neat. But to highlight the effect, they add like three pieces of like wood in there. There's like a sphere, a triangle, and a rectangular prism, and they're spray painted neon, and then there's a black light in there. So it looks like they're kind of like in there with the projected characters. It is such a weird kabuki thing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Terrible.
Does
game.
It play like Dragon's Lair? Like
you're it's a quick time event.
Because it's on CD or Laserdisc.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to hit left at the only time when you're allowed to, then it switches the track and it plays that one, and it's so bad.
It's terrible. Yeah.
Our Showbiz Pizza in Kansas, which is basically Chuck E. Cheese, had Dragon's Lair, and it was the very first game that I encountered that was 50 cents.
Yeah.
Whoa. And I
was
like,
big deal.
What? I could never afford to play this.
That one was so good because you could watch people play it. And
yeah,
there
that's
was
true.
Like, I mean, my experience with that in the arcade.
Even the attract mode showed you a lot of like the scenes too.
Yeah. And people would play it and everybody was like seriously like sitting there like watching to see like the deaths and the different permutations of everything. It was, man, amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. The truth is probably most of the games we loved as a kid are not quite as good today.
Right.
That's why it's like when you encounter the NES games that are still fun to play today.
That
That's why it's even that more, that's so much more impressive, I think. And that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions.
Oh, boy. Wow. Already.
This is Trojan on the NES.
Yeah.
Our suggestion this week comes from Eric Simpson in Pennsylvania. And he says, I'm a new listener to your show. It really helps make work not boring.
Nice.
We agree.
He's a doctor.
Let the questioning begin.
Did this game originally come out on a cart?
Cartridge?
Yeah.
No.
What? Why did you have to clarify? What's the other meaning of cart is there?
Well, you know,
like a
cart
shopping
racer.
Cart.
Mm.
Okay.
There's a Mario Kart.
Mm.
All right.
It did not come out on a cartridge.
All right. Did it come to home video systems?
Yes.
Okay.
Hmm. Was this game from after the year 2000?
Yes.
Oh, no. It's not Battletoads versus Double Dragon, which would have been nice because second time was easier. Third time, we could have gotten in a couple questions less, I think.
Yeah, people point out, you've used this game before. I have no idea what games we've used.
You're submitting them.
Yeah. You submitted it again.
Listener.
Yeah.
Was this game developed in Japan?
No.
Okay.
Does this game have realistic graphics?
In the binary world of Video Game 20 Questions, no.
See, I wish he had said in the binary world of Video Game 20 Questions, yes. And then I thought, oh, it has bad realistic graphics.
Yeah.
But what the hell does Damon mean?
That's what I'm really trying to figure out anytime we're playing 20 Questions.
It's not realistic graphics.
Okay. Was this a platform exclusive?
No.
Did it come out on a PlayStation system?
Yes.
All right.
All right.
Did it come out on a PlayStation 2?
No.
Same question 3.
No.
Okay. Great.
So it did, well, but so we
it's
still
a PS1
don't know.
One game.
No, it's too late for that. It came out after 2000. I mean, it could be a very late. The thing we really don't know is if it's a handheld game.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's a PS4. We have to burn the question.
No, just do the handheld thing. Then it eliminates Vita and no cart.
Was this released on a handheld PlayStation console?
No.
Okay, so it's a PS4 game.
That's 10.
Could have gotten lucky and saved 4 questions there, but we didn't. And that's the way it goes.
Okay. Is the main character a human?
Did we lose Damon there for a second?
Let's say humanoid.
Was this a...
I thought for all the world Sam was just going to take his headphones off and leave.
Was this a launch PS4 game?
No.
What were you thinking?
Knack.
Are you a humanoid? I'm assuming you're some sort of android now. You don't need to respond. I'm just letting you know.
I'm considering if I am giving you the right information. When I meant like you're a humanoid, you're a character that looks like a human. I don't know if you're technically a human or not.
Yeah, because you could be from space or some shit. Is this a sci-fi game?
Yes.
Okay.
PS4 game. A pretty like human-esque character.
Sci-fi. Really sci-fi. Narrows it down.
Multi-platform, not made in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was this made by an indie studio?
No.
So major game, cross-platform, also came out in PS4, sci-fi. So you get your Mass Effects,
Mass
Dead
Effect
Spaces.
Andromeda. It's too late for Dead Space.
You know your humans in Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Because Earth's in it.
Yeah.
Should we ask if it's an RPG? Would it be? I don't know if it would be, actually.
I don't have it.
Was this game received well?
No.
Oh.
That's 15.
Could still be Mass Effect Andromeda.
He knows that the characters are human in it, but there's other characters that I guess aren't.
You're in the Andromeda.
I was really pulling for Knack, so.
Okay. Is this game part of a franchise?
No.
Whoa. poorly received platform sci-fi game by a major label.
Platform sci-fi game.
Why'd you say platform?
A major major platform.
Oh.
PS4. I meant, I guess, I don't know. I can't remember. That music is,
yeah.
I'm just jamming to it for a little bit.
Not the most exciting boss fight music, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, this PS4 is within the last few years. Like,
where can we go with this? I guess we could ask. I mean, if I knew the studio, it would really help. But I don't think we'd have enough questions to narrow that down.
Agreed. Not part of a franchise is really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be, if it's licensed, it could be like a Star Wars game. And then it's, are they human in Star Wars?
Yeah, it's unclear, right?
Is this a licensed game?
Well, it's from a different galaxy.
But they're still human. If you read the literature.
That's all mythology now.
Is this a Star Wars game?
No. Is it a licensed game?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this a licensed game? No.
Because that would make it part of a series, right?
That's 17. Well,
yeah, I guess that's a good point.
It's confusing.
I don't know. I don't have it. Seth,
well,
save
we got
us.
Two more questions.
I'm racking my brains here.
Could it be your Destinies? Your that's part of a series.
That's part of a series too.
Is this a multiplayer focused game?
Yes.
Could be Anthem. Mm-hmm.
That's 18.
Mm-hmm. It could be Anthem.
You have a question and a guess.
Yeah.
Multiplayer focus is a really good tip.
Yeah, sci-fi.
Or, I mean, or like, you know, some shooter, but like obviously not Call of Duty Infinite Warfare because that's the part of the ultimate video game franchise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Plus those all get 10s anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Infinite Warfare was really good. That music drives me insane.
It's going to fit out.
Should we just ask the EA question? That it's a lot of games out there if it's not
that's
EA.
That's helpful. Was this game published by EA?
No.
It's not Anthem.
It was not, and that brings us to your guess for this game this week.
I feel like maybe we could still get there if we cared more. Because it's like we got pretty good tips. That means it's probably like, you know, Activision or Square Enix or some publisher like that.
A poorly received sci-fi, not a franchise.
Plays a humanoid.
Multiplayer focus. I mean, we would have all been talking about it or aware of it. But
yeah,
it could just be a smaller thing. Well, it's not. It's not indie, though. It's a bigger studio.
That's why I feel like we probably do have the hint, like, you know, even though it's not Anthem. It's probably not Activision, though, because they don't do shit that's not part of a big franchise.
Is Battleborn sci-fi?
Battleborn's
you have to talk into your mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was...
Battleborn's
yes,
a really
so good.
You do the honors. I think that's as good a guess as any.
Is it Battleborn? Yes!
Yeah!
No way! Yeah!
I can't believe it!
Yeah!
What a Hail Mary there, right?
Man!
There. Battleborn, 2016, Gearbox, published by 2K. Not well received.
It was not well
received. Aren't you animals in it?
No,
you're human. You're things. I don't, but yeah. I just don't know if you're.
I mean, there is one character that's like a penguin riding a robot.
There's also dozens of characters, so it's
yeah, it's like Damon, a hero shooter.
Yeah.
Put Damon in.
And I think it was unfairly received or maligned because it sort of came out when Overwatch came out, and people were expecting it to be just an Overwatch clone. In fact, it was more like a MOBA.
Battleborn. Battleborn is not good, but it is better than its reputation.
Yes,
I think we've had Battleborn before.
Whatever.
That's true. It's possible.
I can't. I'm just blown away that I got it, and I just feel wonderful.
What popped in your head though?
I was trying to think of like a multiplayer focused sci-fi game that wasn't well received, and then it just that was the.
And
one
we did hit a bunch of them. Like we kind of went back through the era of like I can think about like what it was like when Battleborn came out in the office. Like that was what it was. It was a
my kids actually loved sci-fi game. Battleborn, and they would still be playing it if other people were, but the wait times were like 15 or 20 minutes in the lobbies. So
yeah, it might also be maligned because people wanted Borderlands, more Borderlands.
Right.
They didn't want this other new thing.
Yeah.
Right. It just got completely swallowed by Overwatch.
That's right.
Like,
yeah.
That's a bummer.
Our 2016 game of the year. So
Overwatch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not Battleborn. Well, nicely job, everybody. Thank you for the suggestion, Eric Simpson in Pennsylvania. If you guys have your own suggestions, email them to me at gamescoop@ign.com. Seth, I'm so glad you could join us today.
I'm thrilled.
What's give us some parting words of advice for people out there, our listeners who maybe want to have a job writing about games someday.
Perseverance.
Perseverance.
Yep. And say yes to everything.
Mm.
And
be a yes person.
Be a yes person.
Well, don't say yes to working for free.
Don't say yes to working for free. That's the one thing to say no for. And yeah, just be persistent and keep trying. And every time you see an opportunity, take it, even if it's a little bit outside of your comfort zone or a little bit outside of your realm of expertise, because maybe you can fake it a little bit till you make it. Mm. I'm a huge fraud, and I'm here right now. So
the work for free thing's tricky. Don't work for free for a place like IGN that, you know, is a multi-million dollar business. But I got my start working for free.
So right. It's not a binary statement. Like sometimes, like start your own blog and write every day. You won't get paid.
Sure. Yeah.
Start a satire site about the state of Maine, for example, and do it every day.
Yeah. But like Justin says, don't work for a big company.
Right.
For free.
Right.
Yeah. All right. That is all the scoops that we have for you this week. Thank you, Seth. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
Do you think you could, if it was a fight to the death and the dog knew it was a fight to the death, do you think like you could take a dog?
I always wonder about that. Dogs usually kill like old ladies and children.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
What kind of dog?
Dogs usually kill old ladies and children. Yeah. That's a thing that happens usually.
That's what dogs are famous for.
Wow.
Dogs. Dog silent killer.
I just think like...
okay. Are you ready to do this?
We can save it for later.
Yeah.
Is this the end of the show?
I have more to say about this.
All right, here we go.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.